Welcome into the dive bar edition of the producers here on 105.7 FM, thefan.com. Jeff Orlowski, Greg Janik here to kick your ears ass. Greg, what's going on, brother?
Not much, man. How we doing?
Hey, you know, living a dream. Pissed off that football season's over already. And
It is not a good time to be a Packer fan, that is for sure.
It's kind of sad, man.
It really is, because you now are losing another year of Aaron Rodgers' prime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the saddest part, because you're losing the prime of possibly the best quarterback to ever play the game.
Yeah, another year flushed down the toilet. But before we get into the depressing talk, we got a huge show for you. Like always, going to talk about the Packers. Going to talk about the undefeated Badgers. Going to talk about your Milwaukee Bucks. And then we're just going to freaking wing it in the fourth segment and talk about whatever the hell we want. So
it works for me.
You know, sounds good. Hopefully you guys are buckled up, because we ain't stopping. So first segment, the freaking Packers, man. Unreal. Un-freaking real. Martellus Bennett.
If this just doesn't show what type of person Martellus Bennett is, I don't know what does.
Yeah.
He was completely content with being on the Packers, loved being part of this community. He's close to Chicago, so he's close to his family, and he can just drive down real quick. And then Aaron Rodgers gets hurt.
Yeah.
And then the tides start to turn, and all of a sudden, during the bye week, you know that your team's not as good as it used to be, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers on the bench. And all of a sudden, I might be retiring after this year. I can't say for certain, but I might be retiring. And then all of a sudden, a phantom injury just appears.
Yeah.
And he's now out for 2 straight weeks with this phantom injury after a bye, mm-hmm. mind you. So where you weren't hurt before going into the bye, and now you're hurt. And now today, the New England Patriots picked him up off of waivers.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about collusion? Collusion, the NFL. He wanted to go back there.
Well, he wanted to go back. He wanted to go back to the next best quarterback.
That's 100% what he wanted to do. And he played the Packers. Now the Packers are trying to get their money back, and we'll see if it happens or not. He was claimed off of waivers, so that's nice, because the Patriots now assume the rest of his contract,
mm-hmm.
and the Packers don't have to pay any of that. But he got mad that Aaron Rodgers is no longer playing, knew that the season was a wash. He's not going to win a Super Bowl. He's not going to get his numbers. So he pulls a bunch of garbage.
Well, he got shit numbers anyway, because he dropped half the balls that game
is very
freaking
true. He didn't look like the tight end we thought we were getting.
No.
When we went into this year and we talked about the Green Bay Packers on previous podcasts before the season started, even during the offseason when they got Martellus Bennett, everybody and their mother, every football pundit, not even in this city or state or area, nationally, said that this is a phenomenal signing for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. This is a definite upgrade over Jared Cook. And now you have all these people saying, oh, well, they should have kept Jared Cook. They should have kept Jared Cook. Funny, you weren't saying that when they signed Martellus Bennett. You weren't mad that they got rid of Jared Cook. You might have said, oh, well, Jared Cook was a nice piece, but you were happy they got Martellus Bennett. You thought it was an upgrade. And now everybody is bashing Ted Thompson. Some of it's rightfully said, but this part isn't, because you thought Martellus Bennett was going to be phenomenal. You thought Martellus Bennett was going to take this offense to the next level. And when he didn't do that and he dropped everything that came his way, all of a sudden it was, oh, I wish we had Jared Cook. I wish we had Jared Cook. You weren't saying that when they signed Martellus Bennett, so shut up with that.
Mm-hmm.
But Martellus Bennett, you got what you wanted. Hopefully the Packers get your signing bonus back, because you're acting like a little bitch.
Yep.
And have fun in New England. And you know what? I hope your shoulder really is hurt, or you tear an ACL, because you're a bum.
Yeah.
Go sit in Vegas with your brother.
Dude, he's a total bum. And I'll tell you this, and it made me furious. I was listening to the Big Show when the whole retirement tweet and stuff came out, and Sparky's on there and says, oh, well, you can't blame him. You know, maybe he wants to be healthy later on in life, and, you know, this and that and this and that. excuses, excuses, excuses. You're damn right you can blame them, because the Packers put had a three-year deal invested in this douche, and then he sits there 8 games in and now talks about retirement. Well, if he would have been upfront and honest with the Packers when he signed and put his name on that contract, there's no way in hell that the Packers would have signed him for 3 years. There's no way in hell that Ted would have brought him here and got rid of Jared Cook, who had one of the most memorable catches in Packer history, that sideline catch against Dallas. So, you know, he played games, sat there, you know, throws this retirement crap out there, and still has people here making excuses for him. Drove me up the freaking wall, man. Up the wall. I couldn't handle it. And, okay, so he acts this way and, you know, gets his wish. Well, the best quarterback in the league is hurt. Now I'm going to go back to Tom Brady. You know, just weak-ass move, you know. And then, obviously, you know, the stuff with his brother comes out and the video and all that, that his brother's story about Vegas was a load of crap as well. There are some serious freaking problems in that family, man. And I don't feel bad for him. It boggles my mind. It boggles my mind.
I'm with you. I don't feel bad for him at all, man. I go back to New England. I have no love lost whatsoever.
No. And I like you said, man, I was 100% on board. I was excited. I thought the Packers offense was going to, you know, turn the page, be unstoppable, open up the middle of the field, and then he drops this and he drops that. He doesn't score one touchdown in a Packer uniform. Just garbage. Absolute garbage.
He did in preseason.
Well, yeah.
That one.
Yeah, what does that get you?
Yeah, exactly. He did make that one catch in the comeback against Dallas. On the final drive, he made a long catch that was probably the best catch he made in a Packers uniform. But other than that, he did nothing. He was a bust of a signing. And, you know, I was listening to Bill Michaels' show today on my way to work, and they were talking about whether or not this will hinder Ted Thompson from going out and getting more free agents, because this puts such a sour taste in his mouth. And I really hope it doesn't, because if you're going to let this jackwagon put a bad taste in your mouth when it comes to going and getting free agents, then you're old and washed up anyways. You should just leave.
Well, you know, he sat there. Okay, so obviously the Bennett signing was a bust. Ahmad Brooks, that dude can't stay on the field. He's hurt all the freaking time. So, you know, I was pumped about a lot of these signings. And
can you, real quick, you know, we're talking about injuries. Is it just me, or is every single year the Packers have an amazing amount of injuries compared to every other NFL team?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's their training staff or their head doctor or what it may be. But things need to be changed, because you always have people hurt with soft tissue injuries or who knows what. Why can you not keep people on the field? What is it? You can't blame it on the cold, because there's tons of other teams that play in the cold.
Yep.
You can't blame it on the facilities, because Packers facilities are top notch.
Yep.
So it has to be something. So the only thing you can point to is your training staff.
Yeah.
So maybe something needs to be changed with the training staff, since you can't keep anybody healthy. Now, freak injuries like Rodgers collarbone, that can't be prevented.
Right.
But hamstring injuries, quad injuries, bicep injuries, like I said, soft tissue muscle injuries.
Year after year after year.
Can be prevented if the right steps are made. And it seems like all these injuries are happening all the time. Ahmad Brooks did not have those injuries in San Francisco.
No.
But now he comes to the Packers.
And he's got him.
He's got him.
Milwaukee, what say you on the big vagina, Martellus Bennett? Hit us up on Twitter at 105.7 Producers, at GregCrew82, at Jeff_Orlowski. Now, I love and fantastic segue into the change with the training staff and all that. You know, so obviously we watched just a complete – complete poop show on Monday night against Detroit. Just god-awful performance, 2 weeks to prepare, and they looked that bad. Now, I flipped on Chuck and Winkler on Tuesday morning, and everybody, oh, yeah, fire Ted, fire Mike, fire, you know, Dom, fire everybody. Well, I believe me and you have been saying this for, what, 2 full years now? Mm-hmm. So it's about time all you suckers get on the freaking the right train of thought here, because me and you have been saying how overrated McCarthy is, how, you know, just it sucks. And every year is a freaking disappointment.
The one thing that really is irking me about McCarthy right now, and we talked about his play calling, even with Rodgers, is that you're not doing anything or going out there and looking for any veteran quarterbacks, because you said, I have this guy, Brett Hundley, that's been in my system for 3 years. He knows my system. He knows the nuances. He knows the checkdowns. He knows how to change plays. He knows this. He knows that. He knows that and the other thing. Well, then why are you calling the games like you're so scared?
Mm-hmm.
You are calling the game to not get blown out. And you're ending up getting blown out.
Mm-hmm.
But you're taking no chances whatsoever. If this guy knows your offense and he's been there for 3 years, just let him go. Mm-hmm. At this point in time, what do you have to lose? You're clearly not going to do it playing this conservative game plan, so just let him go. If he throws six interceptions, he throws six interceptions, but maybe he puts up 45 points and throws for 400 yards. Just see what can happen, because right now you're having him throw the ball 3 yards an attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Half his completions are under 5 freaking yards. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Let him do what a quarterback is meant to do and throw the ball downfield. Stop calling this conservative game plan. Call, if you're this great coach, what you said you were last year, that you were this intelligent, good
sure
football coach,
good.
Then let's see it. It's one thing. You look at the Patriots, and Tom Brady goes down. Or suspended the first 4 games of last year. Okay? Jimmy G comes in. Does good. Jimmy G ends up getting hurt. I don't even know who else they had. Jacoby Brissett, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Started the other 2 games. They won every single one of those games.
They went
3-1.
3-1, I thought.
2-0 with Jacoby Brissett. And 1-1 with Jimmy G.
Yep.
So, you see these guys putting up good numbers because it's the same system. But what's happened? What's happened is Aaron Rodgers saved your ass when you called garbage-ass play calls time in and time out. You call the same 5 plays the entire game. You just run them in different formations. That's all it is. You're not a good player, Carl. I don't see you putting guys in motion. I don't see you having bunch formations. I don't see you doing anything to help your wide receivers get open or to help your young quarterback get an easy throw out there.
Mm-hmm.
Get a bunch formation. Have one guy do an in, one guy do an out, another guy do a post. Something to confuse the defense. They have a bunch formation, they do that, nobody knows where they're going. Maybe you have an easy throw. Or then you have a running back come out of the backfield right behind this whole cluster that was happening, and he's wide open. Something. You're doing nothing right now. You're calling a conservative game plan, and it's clearly not working. You have nothing to lose. Hundley has nothing to lose. Just go out there and play the god freaking game.
Yeah, it drove me crazy before Hundley's first start, and everybody's like, oh, well, I really hope that the Packers simplify the offense and do this and make everything easy on them and just simplify the offense. No, he's been here 3 freaking years. He should know the playbook back and, you know, front to back. There should be no simplifying anything. The reason why you stick with this guy instead of bringing in the veteran is because you don't have to limit the playbook and you can do whatever the hell you want because he's been in your system. Now, this leads me to my question of the year, which isn't my question because I'm stealing it from my neighbor. Okay, he asked me. Now, McCarthy comes out and says that Hundley's his guy. He doesn't want any veteran. Hundley's capable and all this, good enough to get the job done, blah, blah, blah. Is Mike an idiot and just a bad evaluator of talent? Or was he just straight out lying to Packers fans and knew that Hundley was horse crap?
I think that in McCarthy's mind, he thought he could make this work with Hundley. He thought that he was going to put Hundley out there and he was going to call a game plan that was going to be successful, especially against the two defenses that you played. Now, New Orleans' defense has been playing better the last six games than it was the first two, three games of the year. And Detroit's defense, they do have a decent secondary. Glover Quinn and Slay are good defensive backs, but they're not world beaters. You're not going against Denver. You're not going against Jacksonville. Jacksonville's yeah. defense this year. You're not going against Baltimore's defense from Ray Lewis days. You're not. You're facing an average defense.
Mm-hmm.
So I honestly think that McCarthy thought he was going to put Hundley in there and he would do okay. He's not going to be when he's has to do the plays that you're calling. You're not setting him up for success. You're not setting Aaron Jones up for success. You're not setting Ty Montgomery up for success. You're not setting any of your players up for success with the plays you're calling right now.
Yeah.
So I don't think it has anything to do with an evaluator of talent. He's just been lucky that ever since he's been here, he's had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the one thing he's got lucky with. When Aaron Rodgers went down, you had Matt Flynn, who was also in the system for 5 years, and he actually knew what was going on. But then you also had Seneca Wallace, who was junk.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even remember who else he threw out there. Scott Tolzien was junk.
Scoots.
It's a bunch of garbage, man.
I know.
It's a bunch of garbage. Your play calling is atrocious. You need to do something. Because the way it looks right now, you're not going to win another freaking game. Because clearly your defense isn't helping you.
Right.
Your defense can't even – they can't stop anybody.
Dude, Rodgers goes down, and I thought to myself – I was talking to myself. I sometimes do that. I said, Piper, I said, this is a perfect opportunity for Mike McCarthy to completely change your mind about him. And if he can sit there and take Brett Hundley and he can win – at least half of the games with Hundley and get this team into the playoffs, that might prove to you that Mike is a decent coach and he has puked all over his shoes. He's wet the bed. He's, you know, he's eating crap sandwiches, whatever you want to freaking call it. He sucks. He sucks. And finally, Packer fans are starting to wake up. Now, real quick, because I'm tired of talking about this team. Going in this game at Chicago, Packers are 6-point dogs. What's your prediction, Greg?
I think the Bears are going to run all over them. I think Mitchell Trubisky's junk. I mean, he's started, what, 4 or 5 games? I think in those 5 games, he's a total of 6 completions. He's junk. He's garbage. But you know what? They have a good running game. And I think they're going to run all over the Packers. They have a good defense. They're going to stop Hundley. And they're going to lose this game. Honest to God, I really don't know if they're going to win another game this year. If they looked the way they looked against Detroit, I do not know if they're going to win another game this year. Because they looked absolutely horrible. And what's even worse is, like you said, they had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. And that's the product you put out there?
Yeah.
After your bye week?
At home. At home. 2 weeks at home. And that's what you show up with?
If they play like that the rest of the year, they're not going to win a game. They'll lose to the Browns.
Yeah,
they'll lose to the Browns.
Possible.
If they play the way they played against Detroit, they will lose to the Browns. And you know what? I said this when Rodgers first got hurt, and I got lambasted by a lot of Packer fans saying, oh, Aaron Rodgers can come back. So as long as they stay in the hunt, Aaron Rodgers comes back week 15, 16, and they can make a run for the Super Bowl. Well, he had 13 pins inserted into his collarbone. I don't think he's going to be even able to come back. Even now, when they say there's a possibility, when the injury first happened, I said he's done for the year, done for playoffs, done for everything. At that point in time, lose every single game. You're 4-12. You get a top five draft pick. You go out and grab either the best lineman available or the best defensive player on the board.
No.
And you're going to get a talent that you never thought you would have when Aaron Rodgers is playing quarterback that can possibly, hopefully, take you to the next level so you can win at least one more Super Bowl with one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Because if you don't win another Super Bowl, you just wasted 25 years of two of the top 10 quarterbacks of all time in Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. And it's sad, and it frustrates me being a Packers fan when you see just jackass of a quarterback like Eli Manning win two Super Bowls because he had players and a team around him to help him get to the Super Bowl and win it.
And good coaching. So, okay, well, our listeners are as big a degenerates as we are, so give them a score so they can go to the window and lose their mortgage.
12-7.
12-7. I'm gonna give the Packers less credit than that. I'm going to say 27-6. Chicago beats Green Bay. So take the Bears and give the 6, man. With this garbage that we're being forced to watch, it's unreal. It's unreal. Well, I'm done. Let's talk about something happy. When we come back, we're going to talk about the undefeated Badgers. That sounds better, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I guess before I was trying to get happy too quick. Milwaukee, before you jump off the bridge, shoot us on Twitter. Let us know what you think the score is going to be at 105.7 Producers, at GregCrew82, at Jeff_Orlowski. You know, give us a score, your prediction. You know, change my mind. You know, do something. Give us two reasons why the Packers, A, might, you know, not even win a game, but might show that they're somewhat respectable. Because right now, it's just, it's awful. It's absolutely awful. We'll talk Badgers when we get back. It's the Dive Bar edition of the Producers here on 105.7 FM, TheFan.com. Welcome back to the Producers Dive Bar edition here on 105.7 FM, TheFan.com. Find us on Twitter at 105.7 Producers. You can find Mr. Greg Janik at GregCrew82 and me at Jeff_Orlowski. So after that depressing-ass segment about the Packers, I asked Greg if we could run to the bar, do a couple shots, and come back, try to get happy again. He said no. So we're still sober, but we're moving on to happier topics here.
We'll get to the bar afterwards.
Well, I know, but a little head start never hurt anybody.
That is true.
So, but we're going to talk about the Badgers, the undefeated Wisconsin Badgers. Now, before we get into their matchup against number 20 Iowa here coming up Saturday, 2:30 kickoff, Greg, Wisconsin's 8th in the latest playoff rankings. Do you think that they're too low, too high, or right where they belong?
I think they're right where they belong. You're going to see some movement this week. If the Badgers do win this game against Iowa, which they're favored to win, they should get some help because you have Miami playing Notre Dame. So one of those teams is going to...
Catholics versus convicts.
As some of you might know or may not know, I am a very big Florida State fan.
Nobody's perfect.
And, So, I have a immense hatred for Miami. I think today or this weekend might be the first time I will have ever rooted for Miami.
Uh-huh.
Because I hate Notre Dame that much more. And Brennan Schultz, if you're listening to this.
Suck it.
Exactly. I hope Notre Dame gets crushed. But so Wisconsin's going to get some help from one of those games. Oklahoma and TCU play each other, so you should get some help that way as well. Georgia and Auburn play each other, So you could get some help there.
Georgia's going to win that one.
You never know. You never know. So they could get some help. The problem is that Wisconsin hasn't done anything to impress the playoff committee. I completely understand why they're number eight. Yes, you're undefeated, but you're not beating teams handily like you should beat teams. Not by any means. You're beating Illinois by 14 points.
Yeah.
You should be beating them by 30. If you're a top four team in the nation, a playoff team vying for a possible national championship, you should be crushing the talent you're playing in the Big Ten right now, because the Big Ten is down. You should be absolutely demolishing them, and you are not, and that is why you're sitting at number eight. And you are the only one, Wisconsin, as a team, the only person you have to blame is yourselves, because you're not taking advantage of your schedule right now and just crushing these teams. Taylor is a stud. Jonathan Taylor is a stud.
Right.
Hornibrook has looked pitiful this year.
Yeah. He's stopped A junior.
Their offense as a whole has been atrocious. Their defense has started out slow in games and picked it up in the second half. But even then, you're still allowing these teams to get back in it when you should be just dominating them. They're not, in my opinion, they're not a top four team in the nation. They don't deserve to be. And if they go undefeated the rest of the year, which I don't think they will, because they're gonna either lose to they're either gonna lose to Michigan or they're gonna lose in the Big Ten championship game. But if they somehow miraculously win both of those games when they go to college football playoffs, whoever they play, they're gonna get absolutely smashed.
Okay, now, do I think Wisconsin's a top four team in the nation? Hell no. Because the eye test, they do not pass the eye test. The offense does not pass the eye test. They lose Cephas for the year. He injured his leg, just had surgery on it. So he's gone, their best receiver on the team. Hornibrook sucks, okay? He throws horrible interceptions. Some games he bounces back. Some games he doesn't. And he looks scared. And the offense is garbage the entire game, and they rely on the defense. The problem with Wisconsin is that they don't play complete games. They sit there and they look like crap in the first half, and then the defense gets them back in it. The offense does just enough in the second half, and they win. Now, they did pick up a nice road win against Indiana last week,
which was a 6-7 point game in the fourth quarter. I think it was 24-17 at going into the fourth quarter, and then they exploded for 21 points in the fourth quarter.
All right.
And that just happened because of Indiana having bad turnovers on their side of the field.
Yeah, I was trying to follow that game while I was sucking down Long Islands like they were going out of style at the Dells. So I was sitting in a water park trying to watch it on the TV, just getting blind.
Yeah, they won by 21 points, 28 points, something like that. But the game was a lot closer than the final score indicated.
Yeah, okay, I'll tell you this. Wisconsin can go undefeated this season, and I believe that they will. I think they win a real tight one here against Iowa. I think they win another tight one against Michigan, and I think they're going to play Michigan State in the Big Ten title game, and they can win that too. I also think that they get shut out of the college football playoff. Now, my thing is that they're going to get shut out of the playoff, and it's not Wisconsin's fault. It's not Wisconsin's fault that they're on the weak, redheaded stepchild side of the Big Ten. And they're not on the big money, big balls, baller side of the Big Ten.
No.
It ain't their fault that they got placed in the shitty division.
It's their fault that they're not beating these teams.
It didn't matter.
They're not blowing up these
teams by 110.
If they won every single game by a final score of 56-10, 63-20, they would be a top five team right now. I guarantee it. They'd be a top five
team. Way.
If they were blowing teams out, they would be a lot higher than they are right now. But they see them struggling against Illinois and Northwestern and Indiana and Rutgers and whoever else crap teams they play. They're barely beating these crap teams. That's why they're not a top five team. It has nothing to do with the Big Ten being down, because the Big Ten just had two teams in the top six in Penn State and Ohio State.
Right, both on the good side of the Big Ten.
It doesn't matter. It's still
it
the Big
sure
Ten.
It sure as hell matters.
It doesn't matter. The people love the Big Ten. They love the Power Five conferences. So they would be up there if they didn't look like crap against these junk teams. You're your own worst enemy. You look like crap against these teams. You're not beating them the way you're supposed to. That's why you're not a top five playoff team. It's all on you.
They're not a top five playoff team because their strength of schedule is garbage. And the reason their strength of schedule is garbage is because all the good Big Ten teams are on the other side of the Big Ten.
It does. If they would have just killed every single opponent they had. Let's see. They've killed Utah State. They beat FAU by 17. They beat BYU by 34. Then you beat Northwestern by 9. Which you should have beat them by more. Northwestern isn't that good.
Northwestern's 25 in the college football playoff rankings now.
You beat Nebraska, a down Nebraska, by 21. That was a good win. Then you go to Purdue. You win by 8. You barely beat a Purdue that's been horrible lately. You don't do anything special against Maryland. You only beat Illinois by 14. And then you were only up 7 on Indiana going into the fourth quarter. You haven't done anything special. Anything special.
It's because they haven't played anybody special. If they played in the Big Ten East and they played against the Ohio States, the Penn States, and Michigan State and all that.
Who has Clemson played? Clemson's number 4. Who have they played?
Clemson.
They lost to Syracuse in their head. They're ahead of Wisconsin. Who has Clemson played?
Auburn.
Clemson is playing in a – they've. Auburn's their big win. They're playing in a very down ACC year this year. Very down. They haven't really played anybody special. Kent, they beat Auburn by 8 points. They beat Louisville when Louisville was 14. They crushed them, but Louisville's down now.
Virginia Tech, NC State, all ranked in the top 20
when they played
in the
them.
Playoff rankings.
When they played them.
So, you know, they played some freaking teams. They played some teams. It's not like Wisconsin, you know, but like I said, it's no fault of Wisconsin because the teams on their side of the Big Ten suck. It is what it is. But like I said, I fully expect Wisconsin to go undefeated and still get shut out. And I hope that they go undefeated. And I'm not rooting for them to get shut out, but when it happens, I hope this will be the catalyst to get it to 8 teams instead of 4. However, the caveat that I will give here, it's the same one I gave on a college football show. You can listen to that on demand at 1057fmthefan.com. Little shameless plug there. Is that when they increase the college football playoffs from 4 to 8 teams,
which they can't do until what, 2021, because they have a contract for the 14 playoff to then. They can't do it till then because they have TV contracts that they have to pay out. I do think it should be 8 teams, but it doesn't matter. Wisconsin's not going to go undefeated.
My caveat is that when they increase from 4 to 8, they have it written in stone that it cannot change for 25 years. Because I am scared that they are going to tinker with it the same way that college basketball is. It was perfect at 64. Now it's at 68. Now people want to expand it again, which just boggles my freaking mind. Leave it alone. You get it to 8. You put it set in stone. It can't change for 25 years. And you just enjoy.
If you have it at 8, what you're going to have is you're going to have each Power 5 conference that
and three wild cards
is going to be in there, and then you have 3 wild cards.
Yep.
You should also have it written stone then, too. If a team goes undefeated, they make the college football playoffs.
No.
But their argument is completely going to fall.
If it's in the Power 5 and they go undefeated, yes. But if it's Nowhere State University that's playing Little Sisters of the Poor and beating up on these little garbage teams.
You got to have that in there.
Oh, hell no.
No, you got to have it in there that if the team goes undefeated, it has to be a part of the Power 5 conference.
Yes. Yeah, that I agree with. I can get behind that.
But it's not going to happen. It's not going to matter because Wisconsin's not going to go undefeated.
Yes, they will. What say you, Milwaukee?
We'll put after we go off the air, we're gonna put some cocktails on this. I guarantee they're gonna lose to Iowa.
You want to bet on that one?
We'll talk about it off there. They're gonna lose Iowa.
Okay, yeah. Oh, I'm gonna get rich. All right, Milwaukee. Yeah, let us know.
Cocktails.
Well, whatever. I'll get drunk at least. Hit us up on Twitter at 105.7 Producers, at GregCrew82. He's the crazy one. I'm the smart one at Jeff_Orlowski. Now, when we come back,
9-3.
9-3, what?
That's what the Badgers are going to end up with.
Oh, you're drunk already.
Lose to Iowa, lose to Michigan, lose Big Ten championship.
I'm going to be drunk for weeks. yeah, we'll bet on all three of those.
Remember what happened last time they started 9-0?
I don't care.
They lost three straight games.
All right, anyway, Greg's mic is off. It's going to be a solo show from here on out. When I come back, I am going to talk about the Milwaukee freaking Bucks. Eric Bledsoe, what does he mean to this team? Blah, 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 blah. You're rocking with the producers here, 105.7 FM, the fan.com. Welcome back to the producers' dive bar edition here on 105.7 FM, the fan.com. Jeff Orlowski, Greg Janik kicking your ears ass. We're halfway through. Greg, the Bucks pick up Eric Bledsoe, and don't give up much. Give up the Moose and a protected first rounder. Not bad. What do you think about what they had to give up to get him?
I think they got Bledsoe for a bag of peanuts, in my opinion.
Yes, sir.
I mean, you got rid of Monroe, who wasn't playing as many minutes as you thought he might, being that scoring presence he was off the bench last year. I went to the game. Where Giannis had his 44-point amazing game against Portland.
Yeah, I was there.
You were there covering the game. I think Monroe played a total of 2 minutes that game.
I think he missed every shot that he took.
And he said he rolled the pine the entire time. Monroe is not part of the offense. He's not part of their offensive scheme. Yes, he was good offensive scoring off the bench, but he didn't do anything for you defensively. He wasn't this amazing rebounder.
No.
So you didn't really give up that much except for his salary, which is a plus, and a lottery-protected first-round pick.
Yeah.
For a guy that put up 21 points and 6 assists last year.
Mm-hmm.
You got him for a bag of peanuts. You should be very happy with that deal.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard people talk, even on the station, about, oh, how he has bad knees. Well, you know what? A lot of people get injured. A lot of people have bad knees. It's basketball. You're 7 feet tall. Your knees are going to be bad for a little bit. He played majority of last year. I don't know how many games he's missed over his career, but I don't think it's all that many.
Played 66 out of 82 last year.
Okay. And that some of those games could have been rest.
Yeah.
You know, all these players like to rest every 4 games because the schedule's so brutal on him. Jesus, you're playing a professional basketball. It's not that brutal.
No.
Anyways, so you got a guy that can score, shoot the ball, penetrate. You don't always have to have Giannis with the ball. You don't always have to have Brogdon with the ball. You now have a legitimate scoring threat next to Giannis. With Jabari out and Middleton not hitting his shots this year, I think it was a very good deal. A lot of people are talking about, oh, well, the money, we're not going to have enough money for Jabari. Make some moves. Get rid of Dellavedova because he's a contract that's just wasting away. Get rid of Teletovic because he does nothing but miss threes.
Yeah.
And then you have room to do whatever you want. Get under the luxury tax, whatever it may be. Money is nothing to these people right now. There's a lot of teams that are over the luxury tax. Who cares about money? All you are caring about now as a Bucks fan is what this organization is doing to prove to Giannis they want to win. Because if Giannis bolts in 4 years, you're screwed.
Mm-hmm.
You have to prove to Giannis right now. Your only goal is to prove to Giannis that you're going to do whatever it takes to put people around him to make the Bucks viable contenders year in and year out to win a title. Because that's what Giannis's goal is, to win a title. So whether that be if you have to hit the luxury tax and pay some fines every year, you do that, because if you lose Giannis, you have now put your organization back to where it was in the mid-2000s.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I agree with you, man. What they gave up for to get Bledsoe, nothing. Absolutely nothing, Bledsoe. You know, they fleeced the Suns for him. And, you know, because Bledsoe said he wanted out and all this, and thank God he did, because
well, the Suns didn't play their cards right either.
Well, no.
They were idiots. The minute you had him not playing, you just lost all your trade value.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're essentially saying, all right, well, he's just going to sit here until we get the best offer. Well, people are, no, you're not going to get a good offer while this guy's not playing. So we're just going to let it sit for a week or two. He's still not going to play. He's going to get rested. And then I'm going to trade for this guy for next to nothing.
Yeah, you know you're going to get lowballed like crazy. And good. Because, screw Phoenix. We're Bucks fans. So yeah, good for the Bucks, man. Great move. The first round pick. You know, the NBA draft is such a crapshoot, man. Once you get past, like, pick six, it's like 50-50 whether these guys work out or not.
Exactly. And the first-round pick that you're giving up is lottery-protected.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't even matter. You hope the next 4 years, when this pick is going to be dealt to the Suns, it has to be given to them by 2020.
Right.
That they're in the playoffs every single year. So it's going to be at least a 15th pick or later.
Well, yeah.
And what did you do with your 15 pick this year? You picked DJ Wilson, who I think he has, his stat line for the year is one rebound.
Yeah, it's not impressive. You know, the only thing that worries me is the injuries. And, you know, like you said, you know, a lot of people have bad knees. Well, shit, welcome to Wisconsin, man. Look at our freaking football team. You know, so we're used to people getting hurt. But, you know, in 2011, he only played 40 games. In 2013, he played 43. In 2015, he played 31.
Was that due to injury?
What the hell else would it be? He decided to open up a lemonade stand and make the same amount of money?
Decisions. I mean, early in his career, some of these rookies don't get a lot of minutes.
You know, when he played the 40 games, he was at just over 11 minutes per, 17 minutes per in the 13 season when he played 43. 34 minutes per when he played 31 games in 2015. So he was getting time. So, you know, but it's a great move, man. He helps that offense. You know, Giannis needs help. Thon Maker has been a very big disappointment so far this year. Sorry, Sith Lord. I hope your son bounces back and gets his stuff together. You know, it's a wait-and-see game on Jabari. Chris Middleton, I think about him. You know, he can leave any day, and I sure as hell wouldn't shed a tear. So I think that Bledsoe adds a lot. Now, you know, I Moose was great last season. He was the spark off the bench, scored. You know, it looked like he tried a lot harder last year. I was a Moose fan, and I'm going to miss him. But he was struggling this year, man. His shot wasn't falling. He looked slower. Every time he would go up and down the court, it kind of looked like every step hurt. And good for him, because now Monroe's going to go to Phoenix, 90% chance they're going to buy out his contract, and then he go wherever the hell he wants. So he can go to a contender with, you know, Cleveland or San Antonio or whatever team wants to pony up some cash for the Moose. And he can go and chase a ring. So, you know, good for him. But I don't see why anybody could be upset with the Bledsoe trade.
I don't either. I mean, you're just adding more scoring. You're adding another guy that can handle the ball. So why would you be upset about this trade? Okay, so he has some injuries. What are you losing at this point in time? You're not losing anything. Like I said, you have to prove to Giannis you're trying to put as much talent around him to win a title, because you need that to happen, otherwise he's in a bolt.
Well, and this is a lost year anyway. You don't get Jabari back until, you know, what are they saying, January, February?
At minimum.
Yeah, at minimum. So, you know, you lose half the season with Jabari or more. You finally get him back. You don't have to be good until next season when you open up the new arena. So you now have a good piece in Bledsoe to sit there and gel with Giannis now, Giannis and Thon, and Middleton, if unfortunately he stays. And then when Jabari comes back, you've got 30 games to sit there and gel the four of them together, where next season they should be ready to straight out of the gates go and compete and make a serious run in the playoffs.
If you look at what this – if I was a kid, what I would do in this lineup right now is I would have Brogdon at the one, Bledsoe at the two, Snell at the three, Giannis at four, and Maker or Hanson at five, whoever you want. Because that way, Brogdon's still starting. You still have his defensive presence. You still have his outside shot. You have Bledsoe who can bring the ball up as well, can drive and dish, can play a pick-and-roll game with Giannis. You have Giannis who can drive and dish it out to Bledsoe or to Snell for the three, or Thon, for that matter. And then you have Middleton coming off the bench who can be your now off-the-bench scorer. He can be your Jamal Crawford that comes in and puts up 17, 18 a game, being that six-man role.
Have you seen Chris Middleton play?
Okay, yeah. Right now he's not shooting the ball all that well. But I'm saying he has the tools, and he would have the opportunity to do it if he was the sixth man on that bench.
If he was a good player. You know, Middleton will have one great game every 10 days, and then he disappears for the next 9 days. And then he'll have another great game. And, oh, yeah, Middleton's back. Oh, you see him? Oh, he was shooting the lights out. And then he disappears and goes ice cold. So I've got no faith in him. I would start Bledsoe out on the bench running the second unit. I would sit there and give him a good couple weeks to sit there and gel in practice and stuff like that with Giannis and them before I would unleash him on with the starting lineup. I think that Bledsoe would provide more offense with the second unit to beginning. He would provide more offense there than you would lose by moving Middleton from the first unit to the bench. But, you know, that's just me. What do I know? What say you, Milwaukee? You happy with the Bledsoe trade? You better be or you're dumb. But hit us up on Twitter at 1057producers, at GregCrew82, at Jeff_Orlowski. How do you think the Bucks should integrate Bledsoe into the lineup? Should he start? Should he come off the bench? Should he sell popcorn and cotton candy until next season so he doesn't get hurt? Let us know. Hit us up on Twitter. Now, when we come back, we got a little surprise segment. We're going to sit there and talk about whatever the hell we want. Kind of like that, Greg.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We're running the ship.
All right. That's coming up next. Dive Bar Edition, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back. Last segment, the Dive Bar Edition of the Producers here on 105.7 FM, TheFan.com. Jeff Orlowski, Greg Janik. Oh, Greg, this segment's going to be good, man. It's time to talk about whatever the hell you want. Greg, what's on your mind?
I want to talk about Jerry Jones and him being an idiot wanting to sue the NFL because – in so facto, by you suing the NFL because you don't want Goodell to get a contract extension, you're suing yourself. You're one of 32 owners in the NFL. So by you suing the NFL, you're suing yourself. And I heard that there was rumors that he talked to about 8 different owners and said if they don't allow him to have this lawsuit, he's going to sue them personally as well. The only reason he wants to sue them is because he's being a little crybaby about his star running back getting suspended.
Oh, the woman beater?
It's just like Robert Kraft. Robert Kraft and Roger Goodell were boys. Brothers, they walked hand in hand, nonstop. They went Halloween parties together. They're Bert and Ernie. And all of a sudden, he wants to suspend Tom Brady. Oh, my God. Roger Goodell is the worst person in the world. Yep. Same thing with Jerry Jones. Had all the support for Goodell until he suspended the woman beater.
Yep.
The molester who likes to pull down women's shirts during
parades, yeah.
The guy that punches DJs in nightclubs.
Oops, played the wrong song, man. Can't blame him for that.
The guy that's also an idiot getting photographed inside a weed dispensary.
Oops.
You're a moron. You're not just getting suspended for everything. You're getting suspended for everything. Just take your suspension and go with it. Now, Goodell has made all these owners a boatload of money. Now, yes, ratings are down the last 2 years. It doesn't matter. The NFL is still the biggest product out there, and they're still making money by the boatload.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jerry Jones, you're a moron. You've always been a moron. You've been a moron since you fired Jimmy Johnson, and you haven't done jack with your organization since. The best thing you got going for you is your stadium, because that's bringing up the value of your Cowboys. So, you know what, Jones? Give up. Give up. Please give up this lawsuit. Your kid just lost in court. He's going to serve a suspension. Let it play out. Let it go. Goodell's going to get his extension sooner or later because all the rest of the owners know what he's done for them. Whether you like him, Goodell, or not, he's done good by the owners.
Well, the funny thing is that when the announcement that they were going to give Goodell the extension came out, the owners voted unanimously to offer him the extension. Unanimously. That means Jerry Jones' dumbass signed off and said yes.
And Kraft.
Oh, yeah. And now all of a sudden, because he suspends the alleged, non-genius Zeke, now all of a sudden he's public enemy number one.
And it's absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it really is.
Yeah. What else is ridiculous? If you follow NASCAR, Bubba Wallace Jr., Darrell Wallace Jr., everybody calls him Bubba, he's going to be the first full-time black driver in NASCAR since 1971 and Wendell Scott. Gets announced, he gets a full-time ride, Richard Petty Motorsports, going to drive the iconic 43 car, all that, full-time next season. Congratulations to him. Now, the comments on Twitter, I'm sure you could imagine, were very less than classy, shall we say, by many a NASCAR fan. I'm sure you know the turn that they took.
Oh, I can only imagine, because where's NASCAR the biggest?
In the South.
And what happened in the South 300 years ago?
Well, yeah, they had that issue down there.
Yeah, and who didn't want to give it up?
The South.
And they lost that battle. And they're still fighting that battle to this day as a lot of people down South still wave that Confederate flag.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't surprise me at all that these ignorant people are doing this.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's such a bad look. It makes NASCAR,
NASCAR, it makes America.
Well, yeah, it makes America look awful. But, you know, NASCAR has that stigma because of the Confederate flag stuff. Because it's known as such a Southern sport and all that. Bubba Wallace, not only is he a talented driver who's had success, he's won truck races, he's competed very, very well in the Xfinity Series. The kid's got talent. He is universally loved in the garage, known as one of the greatest guys that you can be with and be around in the garage of NASCAR. The kid could sell anything. Any company that, especially because he's young, any company that is targeting their products to 20 to like 35-year-old guys is an idiot if they don't put their money behind Bubba Wallace, man. And it's just so freaking disappointing. So disappointing.
And you know what's sad? These people down South that are putting these hateful comments on Twitter and the internet and Facebook and social media, whatever it may be, the only time they're rooting for a black man to succeed is if they're playing on their football team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I bet you them boys in Bama, they're rooting for the black people then. But God forbid you join a all-white sport where it's rooted down South, and they're going to throw up a fit. And it's sad.
But it's not even just a Southern thing, because P.K. Subban, he got so much crap being a black hockey player.
True.
He got crap in Canada. You know, he got crap everywhere he went. And you know, it's just it's brutal, and you know, just be better people. You know, come on, it's awful. But the good thing is that these people, you know, the racist people, and they always show their ass and they show who they truly are. And if you're paying attention, you find out who they are, and then you can sit there and cancel them out where you don't have to listen to their crap no more. So we got that. What else is on your mind, G?
We also haven't had a podcast since the World Series ended. Our last podcast was before the Championship Series.
Yes.
I wanted to know your thoughts on the way the rest of the playoffs played out.
I thought it was a fantastic World Series. Houston did not sweep like I thought they would because, surprisingly, the Dodgers actually showed up. I thought that the Dodgers were going to spontaneously combust before the World Series. They didn't do that. Some of those games were so memorable, man. Game 3, Game 5.
Game
2.
Game 2 is when they kept on going back and forth with the home runs into the extra innings.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. What did they have? Eight homers in that game?
After the sixth inning, they had 8 home runs.
Unreal, man. It was
Game 5?
Yeah, Game 5 was...
Game 5 or Game 6? Game 5.
5, because 6
they won
was
in
when...
6.
Yeah. No, they won in 7.
Yeah. That's right. So Game 5 was the one they won 13-12?
Yeah, that was Kershaw-Keuchel.
That might possibly be the best World Series game I've ever watched.
Mm-hmm.
And I know your sentiment of it. You put something on Twitter about it. That game was unbelievable.
It was.
You had the Dodgers go up 4-0. You had the Astros come back, tie it at 4. Then the Dodgers go back up 7-4 and just back and forth. It was a phenomenal, phenomenal game.
Yeah.
I agree with you. The World Series was great. My predictions were wrong. I had Dodgers-Houston World Series. I had Dodgers winning it because I thought Houston didn't have the playoff experience yet to do it. But I'm going to ask you now, you being a Cubs fan, we talked earlier before the season last year and after the World Series last year, and we said that the Cubs have all the talent in the world to win 2 to 3 more World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And we agreed on that sentiment.
Right.
Do you think that Houston has now taken over that role?
Yes. Yes, they have. The Cubs have so many holes in their pitching staff, and then they have holes in their lineup, a.k.a. Jason Hayward, Schwarber, Zobrist, Hitworth, Junk. So the Cubs have a lot of holes. Houston, not only are they young, they've got rock stars, man. Altuve. You know, how could anybody root against Jose Altuve?
He's 5'4".
I know. He is a midget playing a man's game with big stones power, onion power, man. That guy is great. Correa, fantastic. Stupid that he got engaged right after the Game 7. You know, you win a World Series, he gets on a ring, you know, gets on a knee to give a ring to his old lady. Are you stupid? You got tail coming out of the sky.
Did you see her?
Okay, so she's hot. She's not going to be hot in 10 years.
She's Miss Texas.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, yeah, there was 100 other Miss Texases, and he could be sitting there dipping into each one. You know, so stupid move, buddy. But, you know, he's awesome. You know, they've got a lot of talent on that team. It all comes down to pitching, man. Can the pitching stay healthy? Can the pitching still be effective?
What's crazy about the Astros is that baseball of any draft is the biggest crapshoot for your first round picks because you're picking guys from high school. You're picking guys that played college, but you don't know what's going to happen to them. They hit on every single one of their draft picks. And you had Correa be a stud. Altuve came up through their one of their systems, the Venezuelan system they have down there. He came up through there, so he was a signee, international signee young. But they drafted Correa, stud. Springer, stud. Yeah. Bergman, stud. They drafted a pitcher that they traded for their closer just to put everything all together. You have a good, solid, young team. You just got Verlander. I think you have Verlander for another 3 years. Verlander looked like Verlander of 2012.
Yeah.
When he got to Houston. And thank God for Verlander because we got to see a lot of Kate Upton in the World Series.
Hello.
That was phenomenal.
And, okay, I trashed Sparky a little bit in the Packers segment back in segment one. I give him credit. Sparky was all in on Jeffrey Luhnow. The GM at Houston said he wanted Luhnow to come to the Brewers before they hired Stearns. All that. Spark looks like a genius in that one, in that regard, because Luhnow, man, you know, God, he put it together.
And hopefully Stearns learned from being in that organization, because he came up through Houston. So hopefully he learned through that organization and he can help the Brewers out. You just got to hope your draft picks hit.
Yeah.
But the problem is with the Brewers is that they exceeded expectations this year and they're not going to have a top five pick like the Astros had for seven consecutive years.
Right. You know, it'll be interesting. But like I said, you know, everybody thought the same thing with the Cubs. And then this year happens and Zobrist aged quickly. The bullpen turned out to be a walking pile of poo. You know, just holes just popped up everywhere.
The thing you got to do is you got to take advantage. Houston has to take advantage of this, like you said, while their players are still young and still under arbitration. Because once Correa and Springer and Altuve and Bergman all come up for contracts, you're going to be paying each one of those guys $20-some million a year.
Right.
And that's just right nowadays payday. That could be $40 million 4 or 5 years from now when these guys are starting to come up. Now, Houston's a gigantic market, so you might be able to pay three of those, but you're not going to be able to pay every single one.
Can I tell you what shocked me? When that hurricane came through and leveled Houston, I had no idea Houston was the fourth largest city in America.
Gigantic.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
I probably would have guessed 10 or 15 other cities before I finally got to Houston. And I've been in Houston. And the weather down there is god-awful. Why anybody would want to live there? It's swamp-ass 24-7. It's awful. I don't understand it. But it's the fourth largest city in America. It blew my mind.
What, Chicago, L.A., New York, and then Houston?
Yeah.
New York, yeah. L.A., Chicago, and Houston?
Yeah.
I knew it was top five.
I would have guessed that Dallas was bigger than Houston.
Houston's huge.
I guess. Yeah, what the hell do I know? You got any more thoughts in that gigantic brain of yours?
No, I'm limited to two thoughts per every half hour.
You got me beat by one. I only had one.
My other thought is get to the dive bar.
Hell yeah, let's go get drunk. That's the best thought you've had all day. All right, Milwaukee. This is over. We're done. Liver's twitching. Time to get hammered. Hit us up on Twitter. You got any random thoughts? You know,
let us know what you think about Bubba Wallace.
Yeah, Bubba Wallace, what do you think about the World Series? What do you think about Jerry Jones? Send us pictures of your wives and girlfriends. At GregCrew82, at Jeff_Orlowski, at 105.7 Producers. Greg, till next week. Let's go get hammered. Milwaukee, raise your glass. Here's to life.